So the big question is this: how are real estate investors who don't have a ton of free time, don't have access to off-market deals, and didn't start life on third base, how do we grow a real estate business conservatively to support our families, finally leave the corporate rat race, and build a legacy? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Ed Matthews, and this is Real Estate Underground.
This is the Real Estate Underground podcast show number 38. Hey, everybody, this is Ed Matthews with Real Estate Underground Podcast. I am so excited today. I am joined by Heather Dreeves from Secure Investment Corp. Thank you so much for your time today, Heather. It's a pleasure to finally meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So like we were just talking about offline, I have been stalking you on YouTube and a couple of other social media places for a while now, but there may be one or two people out there who don't know who you are. So why don't you tell them who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name is Heather Dreeves. I am the director of funding and one of the three fund managers for Secured Investment Corp. We are a company located out of a small town in northern Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, to be specific. And I was just telling Ed that we tell people it's terrible. There's bears and there's bugs, but quite honestly, it's a beautiful part of the country. And I don't blame people for moving here. So we're a nationwide private lender. We also provide real estate education, mostly focused around the residential real estate market and different investment strategies there. But I'm lucky enough to really work on the passive side of the business. And I work with clients that are looking to explore alternative investments in real estate without actually having to buy and own and deal with tenants and toilets and contractors. There are ways that you can actually invest capital and small dollars down to $1,000 through different alternative investment classes that we offer. And you know, there's a lot of other companies out there. So my passion is really just to educate people that you don't need a lot of capital to get started in real estate.
So true. So true. So what drew you to real estate as opposed to other asset classes?
You know, I think I kind of fell into it by chance. I mean, growing up, my parents bought and sold real estate. Mainly, they were in land. I saw the opportunity and the wealth that they created outside of their day-to-day jobs, right? You know, you always got to have a side hustle. We have a son that is 24, just got a full-time fireman's job. And I go, the great thing about that, you can have a side hustle. Like you always have to have that. And so I saw how my parents were able to buy property, sell it, upgrade. They have this beautiful 7,000 foot log home on a lake that these days you could never have even thought of buying.
Right.
And so that sparked my interest. And then I fell into the private money world. And before that, I thought when you bought a house or any type of real estate per se, you went to your banker. And when you were going to invest money, you called your financial advisor up. And my eyes were opened. I had no idea that this world was out there, that if right. you found the right deal and the numbers made sense, there was always funding options for it. And there was also ways to create wealth through investing in alternative investments. And so it wasn't just one thing that really sparked my interest in real estate, but then I started really digging into it and saying, wow, you know, my husband and I work hard. And yeah, at the end of the day, we'll probably have a 401k and maybe some kind of a pension, but that's not enough anymore. And so we started buying real estate. We started fixing and flipping. I think I watched too much HGTV. I was like, oh, we're going to be like Chip and Joanna. Well, yeah, it wasn't quite like that.
A little harder.
Yeah, it's not as glamorous.
No,
we didn't get divorced, but and then also saw, hey, we could own some rentals. Let's start this little nest egg, and not with the intention of hopefully dipping into that in retirement, but just creating this wealth to pass along to our kids and educate our kids. And so it's been a process, but I just see how much opportunity is in real estate, whether it's actively or passively, that it's really a passion of mine to just educate people about that.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the things that drew me to it as well. And the fact that it's tangible, right? You can actually go touch it and you can actively or passively for that matter, but you can actively change the value of the property to the positive with some very simple and basic things, right? Paint, tile, a little bit of trim, new windows, new roof, right? And it's amazing the value you can create. And whether you're talking about single family home or multifamily, much larger properties, the basic concept is the same.
Yeah, I agree. And you're creating home ownership, whether that's through the sale of the real estate or renting it. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are needing and wanting better lives for themselves and their family. So improving some of these blighted properties is a really satisfying thing when you see people take homeownership into play.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And that's actually one of the things that we talk about here at my company, Clark Street. We buy buildings that are unloved, and we fundamentally believe we're helping to raise up communities.
I agree.
By giving people a clean and safe place to live. That we're in the apartment building business, but same concept. As we make those buildings beautiful again, that's a place where someone can live and be proud to live, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a little bit of doing well by doing some good.
Well, our motto, and we actually have it on our corporate wall here, we have about 100 employees, and it actually says, you get more of what you want by helping others get more of what they want.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's our philosophy here as well. So it's fantastic.
I love it.
So what do you think separates folks like you who have been established and are doing well and succeeding from the folks that are struggling in this business or you have yet to get going? I mean, what's that quality that gets you, has propelled you, where you and your husband and the rest of your partners to where you want to be?
Well, I think I've seen it through our education. We have a program that educates clients that want to be very active, right? Maybe they're wanting to be an active real estate investor and actually buy the properties, sell them, rehab them. And then also we educate people on how to be the brokers. But I think the one thing that I notice when I'm looking at just our students and other people in the industry is they don't take action. They become educated. They learn everything they need to know. And you know this, it's not for the weak at heart, no. This business. And not every deal is a win and a home run, but you have to be able to take risk. And I think that's the biggest thing that we see the students of ours that struggle is you got to do it. Like you've got to rip that Band-Aid off. You got to write that offer. You got to buy that property. You have the knowledge. It's really just taking action. And I think that's the biggest thing. Risk comes with reward usually. And I think we get a lot of clients and I've seen people, even real estate investors that aren't in our program. And it's like, you know, everything, just write the offer,
right?
You know? And I think that first deal is the worst. I remember the first one my husband and I did, and I thought, good Lord, what are we even thinking? We have enough projects at home. Why are we taking this on?
Right.
But I think taking action, people just don't take action. And that's on the active side and the passive side. I get clients that call me and then they'll call 12 months later. Okay. I moved my money over to a self-directed custodian, but I never did anything. It's right. So you're paying all these fees. You had the information, you took 50% of action, and then you just never did anything. So I think it's taking action is really what holds a lot of people back. And it is scary.
Yeah. And as you were telling your story, I had this memory of when my wife and I had our first daughter, Katie, at 19, you know, 19 years ago. And we walked down to the lobby and we're getting ready to leave. And, you know, my wife's in a wheelchair and the baby's in her lap in the carrier and I'm walking alongside. And the nurse looked at us and said, okay, well, I wish you both well, take care, and turned around and walked away. And Patricia and I were looking at the baby going, you know, eyes wide, we can actually do this. Like, we're now officially parents, I guess we have to do this. And I see that same look in the eyes of newly minted real estate graduates, you know, through our programs and others, where they go, okay, I know everything now. And the eyes go wide and go, now I have to do something. And it's the same look. And I know how they feel. And I tell them, I said, look, you know, I've done dozens, perhaps hundreds of transactions. My hand shakes on every contract I sign, every single one.
Yep.
And it should. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Do it anyway.
You have to do it.
Yeah. I would imagine that with leaders like yourself, a lot of the folks that I know have coaches and mentors that they have been fortunate enough to have along the way. And so I'm curious, what's the best advice you ever got from one of those folks and who gave it to you?
Probably our CEO. I mean, to back up the timeline with me is I've been in the private money industry for over 20 years and I went through the 2008 downturn and honestly stayed on board with the last operator I was with because I felt an obligation to my investors to literally get every single one out of the deals they were in. We all know what happened in 2008 and it was rough. It was not a fun time, but I felt an obligation. I do what I say I'm going to do and was actually getting out of the private money industry. And I had a very large database of clients that I'd worked with for all these years. And our CEO approached me and he's like, we have to have you. And I was like, sorry, I'm getting out. I funny enough, I thought I was going to go back into traditional banking, which good Lord, thank God I didn't do. But I was kind of ready for just an 8 to 5. Like, I didn't want the stress. He's a good salesman. And I came on board. We had, I think, 20 employees at the time. And now we have over 100. And he is actually the mentor and coach that got me into active real estate investing. Before that, I was very passive. And our motto is here, have multiple streams of income, have your day job, have your passive investing, and be very active. You know, that's how you create wealth. That's the path. And he really encouraged me and my husband to do it, which is shocking that we never did it before. My husband was a builder and then kind of got out of that. And we just thought, we had kids. We have kids your age and we had a lot going on. And he's like, yeah, you don't have to be hands-on. You don't have to be in there one laying tile. Find the deal. You've got the funding for it. Get the job done and manage contractors and get out of it. So the best advice really was taking action. You know, it's interesting that I never did anything until then because I'd already been in the private industry for 10 years and hadn't bought an investment property yet. Had just been passively investing.
It's so interesting because I meet folks that come from your side of the space all the time. And same thing, right? You know, mortgage bankers and insurance brokers and folks that raise money for a living. And that's what they do. And they're great at it. And it doesn't occur to them that they should be on the other side every once in a while, that table every once in a while as well to build their
Well, it's like the analogy, the mechanic that never works on his car.
Yeah, right. It's cobbler's son, right?
Or yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So the biggest, best piece of advice from him was taking action. And so we did it. And it was scary, but we wouldn't be where we are today without that advice.
It's absolutely terrifying. And I'm sure... Looking back on it 20 years or however long it's been now, look back and go, you know, it's amazing how much you can accomplish in such a short period of time, you know, 10, 12, 15, 20 years, which in the grand scheme of things, isn't that long.
Well, it goes very fast, right? It
sure does. And in fact, I'm 52 now and I was talking to my wife the other night about this and I'm absolutely positive that time accelerates. As you grow older, it gets faster and faster
Yeah. I agree. Someone just asked me, because I don't really care. People can know my age. I'm 51. And someone said, does it bother you that you're over 50? And I said, no, I don't care how old I am. But what bothers me is how fast I went from 40 to this age. Like, I feel like that 10, 11 years was like a blink.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what scares me. So enjoy life, enjoy your family, your friends, and make those things priorities.
Indeed. But it's also, you know, a short period of time, just doing that one deal, acting to get back to your theme, you know, that just doing that one deal creates a snowball effect. So that duplex that you buy in some city on Main Street turns into a 4, which turns into an 8, which turns into a 16. Or if you're a flipper, you know, you buy one and that goes well, and then you buy 2 more immediately, and then those go well. And pretty soon you're managing a portfolio of 4 or 5 projects. And you don't know how you got there, but you're there, you're managing it, and it starts throwing off cash. So that's
absolutely
a huge win, right?
Yep.
The other thing that I've noticed over the years, and I'm guilty of this myself, is that leaders of companies tend to read a lot, or they consume a lot of information. And so how do you consume information, given how busy you are? And what kind of information are you consuming? Books, podcasts, you know, other things?
All of the above. I have about a 30-minute drive to work, so I'm a big fan of podcasts. I listen to a lot of different types of them, real estate, life, finance. I read every morning because I find for myself, if I wait till the evening, it just doesn't happen. My days are busy. I get home. I try to exercise every night. So it's hard to fit it all in, but it's very important. We actually encourage our staff here to read. So we have a book of the month club. And we assign a book, and they're all different types of books. Sometimes it's real estate based. Sometimes they all will help them in both their personal lives and also in their professional careers. And so we assign a book, and if they read it and do a 6-paragraph book report, we pay them $120 cash, and we have 100 employees. So reading is
a big investment.
Yeah. We talk about that wealthy people have big libraries and poor people have large televisions.
Right.
Which may not. True. Yeah. So right now our book of the month is Leaders Eat Last. We also tell our staff, just because you may not be in an executive management director role, it doesn't mean you're not a leader. You may be a leader in your department. You're a leader at home. And so it's been an interesting book. It's about putting your team first and empowering them. So it's been a good read. I'm not totally through it, but that's the current book of the month. So we believe strongly in reading. And I get a lot from podcasts too. I mean, I really do. They're short snippets. You can put your earbuds in, plug it into your car. And I just find that type of information for me is so relatable. And it's nice to hear other people's stories. You know, sometimes I think we get siloed and think you're the only person having these challenges. And then you start listening to other people and you're like, oh, well, everybody else is having that challenge. So I really like podcasts too.
Yeah, me too. I'm a huge podcast. I'm a voracious book reader, although I do a lot of audiobooks as opposed to reading. But yeah. I'm the same way. I've got to read in the morning, or by the time 9 o'clock rolls around, I'm starting to not.
It puts me to sleep.
Yeah, and I don't want that. I want the information, right?
Yeah.
Are you interested in real estate investing right here in Connecticut? Ever wonder where all those real estate investing pros hang out to network? Did you know the Connecticut Real Estate Investors Association will introduce you to those investors and will help you learn how to find deals, fund those deals, and even teach you how to do it without leaving your current job? Go to ctrea.com, that's ctreia.com, and click on the events button to register for an upcoming event. Hope to see you soon.
Buying investment real estate is both thrilling and sometimes stressful. Without a lending expert by your side, most investors don't stand a chance. That's where CTREA Funding comes in. CTREA Funding was founded by investors to help investors just like you fund their deals. Whether you're buying a single-family rehab, an apartment building, or really any investment property, our team will understand your deal and help you close quickly. Go to ctreiafunding.com. or call us at 860-876-0572.
It sounds like you do quite a variety of deals between your funding company and your own investments. Why don't you talk us through one of those deals and dealer's choice. You can pick one you're super proud of or a cautionary tale if you so choose. But
yeah, well, I think I probably have examples of both, right? So just to kind of clarify a few things, our real estate funds are what I would consider diversified because they are debt and acquisition. So we do run 70% of our capital through our funds. We lend that money out. So we lend it to other real estate investors that are buying investment properties. So we've got streams of income coming in from interest payments, origination points. The other 30% of the, or 25, it's 75-25. The other 25% of the fund balances are deployed through acquisitions in our local market. So again, we're in the state of Idaho. We also are right next to the state of Washington, Spokane, Washington specifically. So if you're a college basketball fan, go Zags. And so we buy real estate in those types of markets. And one of the things that we've been dealing with recently is the market shifts, right? Like 2 years ago, fix and flips was where it was at. We did very well with fix and flips. The values were increasing. It was real easy to make money in that market. Things have shifted like drastically. Yep. And so currently we're looking more at buy and hold strategies. You know, we're buying real estate, renting them, selling them on contracts. So I think as an investor, you need to be able to pivot. Just because that was the strategy that worked even 3 months ago doesn't always necessarily mean it's going to be the strategy that is currently working.
Yep.
We actually have a deal right now that we lent money on. So this was one of our debt deals, and it was on a row house in San Francisco. And it was a great property. The borrower was probably not as strong as most, but at that time, this was 12 months ago, we were erring on, okay, well, it's San Francisco. Values are great there right now. We'll take a risk on this guy. You know, he wasn't as strong on paper as we would like to see, but it's private lending. It's either a really strong borrower with maybe not a great property or vice versa. You know, there's always hair on it, I say.
Right.
So we took a risk on it. Well, he went sideways and didn't make payments for quite some time. But I think this is a bad scenario, but finished good because now we have him back on track. He's almost done rehabbing it. He's going to make great money on it. And he's now current on his loan and we're going to get paid and we don't have to foreclose. So
fantastic.
I think you can always take a bad situation, especially with real estate. Like you said, it's a tangible asset, right? Yeah. Which in my opinion means maybe the exit was this 6 months ago, but things changed and there were hiccups and there were roadblocks. Let's pivot quick. More often than not, I'm not saying every project is a win, but most of the time you can pivot and change your strategy and get out of these deals or hold them. They're a tangible asset, cash flow. You know, our motto is cash flow. Right. If they can't sell it, keep them paying. Encourage them to get a tenant in it. So that one actually was a situation that honestly, trying to foreclose in the state of California is not a pleasant thing. It is not very favorable to lenders. So we were a little nervous about it, but the reality is it's working out and he's back on track. We don't want to foreclose on people, but
it's not the business, right?
Yeah. Well, but we have a duty to our funds and our investors, you know, to do what's in their best interest too. So it actually turned out okay. And I think we'll be just fine on it.
Good.
Had we taken it back, we probably would have been fine, but we'd be managing a project from three states over, trying to find a contractor in the state of California. I guess when I look at those types of deals, I mean, we have tons of wins, but I'd rather talk about deals like that where we had some challenges. It took a minute. There was some sleepless nights.
Yeah, I'll bet, right? So let's talk a little more about that if you're open to it. How did you get the borrower back on track?
So one of the things that we do here, because we service all of our paper also, so we service about 400 to 500 notes at any given time. We're kind of a stickler. Once we hit 45 days late, as long as the borrower's calling us, we're going to say, hey, let's work with you. Again, we're not in these to take these back. We want you to make your payments and pay us off. But this guy wasn't calling us back. So at 45 days late, we sent him a foreclosure notice. He also wasn't pulling permits like he was supposed to through the county. So his project got shut down. We were very aware of this. So we would not release any rehab funds to him. And that's the key to this. When you're lending money to rehab properties as a lender, we keep all the money. So we don't front rehab costs. They are reimbursement only. And we do that for this exact reason. If they're not doing what they're supposed to, they aren't getting their rehab funds.
Right.
And so that was the big kicker for this guy, right? He got the letter from the attorney, you know, the notice of default, and then we cut off his meal train to the rehab funds.
Right.
And that got his attention very quick. And then he started calling and, hey, let's get this figured out. Let's get you back on track. We had him do a revised budget because there had been some work done, but not done properly and permitted. So now he had to go back, pull sheetrock out because he didn't get the electrical permitted. And so really just, I think what we did that first, him initiating communication with us was key. You can't help somebody that you can't talk with.
Right.
But then getting him back on track with, let's get a revised bid. Let's see where you're at, what's been done, what realistically it's going to take. Luckily, there was enough money to finish it. And then really just being very in close communication with him. And one of the things we do for our rehab projects that we're lending on, if we don't see activity in 90 days, we send an inspector out. If a borrower is not calling us saying, hey, I need a draw and 90 days have gone by, we're going to send an inspector out to see what's going on. Because the thing is, you cannot do that. And then you're 12 months down the road and you realize this guy's been having trouble for 10 months. It's like, we want to help them. Some people just get in over their head, but we can't help them if we don't know that there's a problem.
Right.
So that is something in the last 2 years we've put in place is every 90 days, if you're not asking for a draw, we're sending an inspector out to see what's so that we can nip that quick and help them.
Right. And that's the key, right? Is the help part. Because the fact that you're experienced real estate investors above and beyond your experience with funding, you can probably help them figure out, okay, you know, plan A didn't work, but have you thought about plan B, plan C, plan
B? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, we practice what we preach. We wouldn't invest in certain deals and we're not going to lend money to someone to invest in a deal we wouldn't do ourselves.
Right.
So it has been helpful because, you know, people get in over their heads. You start rehabbing a property and there's way more work than you thought. You start pulling walls down and realizing plumbing's not at where it should be or electrical issues. You know, there's a lot of unforeseen things. And so the quicker that we can really coach our clients and get them out of these deals, the more successful we all are. Our funds are more profitable. Our lenders get their money back.
Yep.
The borrower makes some money. So we've even advised people in the past that get in over their head, just sell it, wholesale it. You don't have enough money in your rehab budget. You way undershot that. The value's not there. Cut your losses and sell it and pay your debt off and move on to the next deal.
Right. Because even that's a win, right? Because you learn, you learn from that as well.
Yeah. But you know as well as I do, a lot of real estate investors get very emotional with these projects.
They do.
And you have to leave your emotion out of, well, I love this house. No, this is a business transaction. Move on to the next one.
It's just sticks and nails. It's not an evolution of your personal self or an expression or anything like that. It's just wood. That's it.
Yeah, it's business.
Right? Yeah, or concrete or whatever, right?
Yep.
So Heather, I've enjoyed speaking with you today. So I'm curious though, when you're not talking about real estate or raising capital or and doing all the other things that you do, what do you like to do with your family when you're just hanging out?
Yeah, I love talking about this because we are... considering where we live, we're in Northern Idaho. So we have beautiful lakes and mountains. We are lake people. We are soccer people and lake people. We've got one son still in college playing soccer. So we follow him around everywhere to watch him. And he's in his master's program. So he's a graduate student. So this is our last year. We're so sad. So following our kids, and we spend a lot of time at our lake place. We have a lake place on Pend d'Oreille. We do a lot of surfing behind a boat, which is probably weird for people that are near the ocean. What is that? But here, because we don't have big oceans, we surf behind boats. So really spending time with family.
That's awesome. Yeah, it turns out that if you're landbound and you go to the lake instead, there's no tides. So there's no waves, right?
Nope. So you buy surf boats that suck in a bunch of water and create big waves.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Heather, if somebody wants to learn more about your business or your coaching program or anything like that, or just want to reach out and say, hey, what's the best way to reach you and your team?
Yeah. So the best way to reach us is go to our website at securedinvestmentcorp.com. You're going to find information about both of our real estate funds. So we do have two funds. We have an accredited investor fund with a $50,000 minimum. Average yields are 10% on that. It's a very well-seasoned fund. It's been around 9 years. But super exciting thing about us is we actually have the same type of a fund, but it only has a minimum of $1,000, and they don't actually have to be accredited to go into it. So we're pretty, we're pretty fortunate. We were able to open up what's called a Regulation A Plus fund, which is really all that means to the general public is that anybody can invest in it. And we're one of very few in the country that are real estate focused. And so they'll find information about both of those funds. That's a way, you know, if people aren't ready to take on an active real estate investment project and are looking to really just diversify their investment portfolio in real estate, you can actually get involved through a real estate fund like ours. So at our website at Secured Investment Corp, they're going to be able to get information about that. And they can actually schedule an appointment with me and do a 15-minute consultation. I love to educate people about the funds. And I also love to talk about self-directed IRAs. I would say 80% of our clients that invest with us do so through self-directed IRAs. We are not a custodian, but I've been working with custodians for years. And you know, if there's one tidbit of information people take from this podcast is that there are ways to invest that are tax deferred or almost even tax free if you're looking at a Roth. They can get in touch with me there at our website.
Excellent. Well, Heather Dreeves, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to finally meet you. Thank you for all your content. And I look forward to continuing to stalk you. And hopefully we'll catch up on a phone call or something soon as well. So thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds great. Thank you.
This has been the Real Estate Underground Podcast, a CT REIA presentation. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. If there's a specific topic you want us to cover, post it in the comments. For more information on the Real Estate Underground Podcast or CT REIA, go to realestateundergroundpodcast.com or ctrea.com. Until next time, happy investing.